ancient wisdom for motherhood from the pages of Holy Scripture, the book of Proverbs. The price of children. This came across my desk some time ago. Said that the price of children is something absolutely positive. Positively expensive, that is. And the author goes, he says, that I have repeatedly seen the breakdown of the cost of raising a child, but this is the first time I have seen the rewards listed this way. It's nice. The government recently calculated the cost of raising a child from birth to 18 and came up with $160,140 for a middle-income family. Talk about a sticker shock. That doesn't even touch college tuition, he says. But that figure isn't so bad if you break it down. It translates into about $9,000 a year, $741.30 a month, or $171.08 a week. That's a mere $24.24 a day to raise a kid. Just over a dollar an hour. Still, you might think the best financial advice is don't have children if you want to be quote-unquote rich and pursue the American dream. Actually, it is just the opposite. What do you get for your $160,140? So, well, first of all, you get naming rights, first, last, and middle. Glimpses of God every day. Giggles under the covers every night. More than your heart can hold. Butterfly kisses and Velcro hugs. Endless wonder over rocks, ants, clouds, and warm cookies. A hand to hold, usually covered with jelly or chocolate or peanut butter. Partner for blowing bubbles, flying kites, someone to laugh yourself silly with, no matter what the boss said or how your stocks performed that day. For $160,140, you never have to grow up. You get to finger paint, carve pumpkins, play hide and seek, catch lightning bugs. He says, never stop believing in Santa Claus. You have an excuse to keep reading The Adventures of Piglet and Pooh, watching Saturday morning cartoons. Anybody do that anymore? Going to Disney movies and watching or wishing on stars. You get to frame windows, hearts, and flowers under refrigerator magnets and collect spray-painted noodle wreaths for Christmas. Whoever comes up with these ideas? Hand prints set in clay for Mother's Day and cards with backward letters for Father's Day. For $160,140, there is no greater bang for your buck. You get to be a hero just for, one, retrieving a Frisbee off of the garage roof. It's applicable to dads, too, of course. Taking the training wheels off a bike, removing a splinter, filling a wading pool, coaxing a wad of gum out of bangs, and coaching a baseball team that never wins but always gets treated to ice cream regardless. You get a front row seat to history to witness the all these first steps, first words, first dates, time behind the wheel, the whole deal. You get to be immortal, he says. You get another branch added to your family tree. And if you're lucky, a long list of limbs in your obituary called grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You get an education in psychology, nursing, criminal justice, communications, human sexuality that no college can match. In the eyes of a child, you rank right up there under God. You have all the power to heal a boo-boo, scare away the monsters under the bed, patch a broken heart, police a slumber party, ground them forever, and love them without limits, so one day they will like you, love without counting the cost. That is quite a deal for the price. And he says, love and enjoy your children and your grandchildren this Mother's Day. The pages of Holy Scripture are replete with ancient wisdom for modern motherhood. And there is much joy and blessing to be found. Even just this humorous email captures much of the fun and the enjoyment that even the unsaved are blessed with in the context of motherhood and grandmotherhood. So the Lord is good. It's called common grace. And his goodness is designed to bring the lost man to repentance. And even when our lives are lived according to biblical principles, whether we know Him or not, there is blessing to be found. But the flip side is also true. When our lives are not lived according to biblical principles, and children, can I have your eyes? Kids? All right, okay, we're all looking, okay. And so the opposite is also true, in that when we do not live according to biblical principles, there is not blessing but cursing there. And Scripture speaks directly to this in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at that. And so first of all, there's really four things. There's 14 different times in the book of Proverbs where mothers are explicitly called out and spelled out, and there's wisdom there that is applicable for moms and kids, and also dads, of course. So the first one, we're going to look at these four. First of all, the word of exhortation from Scripture, it frames it negatively, and we will present that also positively, is first of all, it says, don't forsake mom's law. Don't forsake mom's law. Two, don't foolishly despise mom. Three, don't feel abandoned by mom. And number four is don't foist an attitude against mom, right from Scripture. Proverbs chapter 1. Look at this in verse 7. Here it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, a biblical philosophy of life, a comprehensive biblical worldview begins right here. If we don't get this, remember the old Monopoly game? Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. If you don't got this down, you'll go back to go. Is that how it goes, the old Monopoly game? That if we don't get this down and understand that we, every one of us, boys and girls included, we are morally responsible and accountable before Almighty God. The rest of our lives are not going to be right. You understand that, boys and girls? And if we don't get this down, everything's going to be off. This is foundational. Anybody that's ever worked in construction and anything of that sort understands the importance of having a good solid footing on rock or concrete. And this is where our lives are to be found. A reverential fear of the Lord Almighty. When we sing, bless the Lord, O my soul, let all that is within me bless His holy name. And therefore, understand that He is worthy of praise, and that our lives are to be lived with a healthy dose, a mega dose of respect and honor for who He is and what He's done. And first of all, we should ask ourselves this question, is why is the Lord worthy of praise? You ever wonder one thing about that? And even, I mean, why is the Lord worthy of praise? In fact, just go ahead and call it out. Just right in your seat. Tell me, give me one reason. Why is the Lord worthy of praise?
He's the Creator.
He's the healer.
He's the healer.
Yahweh Rapha. Why else is the Lord worthy of praise?
He provides.
He's our provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. The goodness of His hand of blessing in our lives is manifold. Why else is the Lord worthy of praise?
He's everywhere.
He is everywhere. He can't hide from God. And so we live our lives coram Deo, before the face of God. And that God sees us. Do we understand that, boys and girls? That God sees us when we are playing with our friends, when we are in our bedroom, when God sees us and He sees our heart and our soul, our minds. You can't hide from God. He sees us when we're perusing the internet, and He sees us wherever we're at, when we're driving on the road, whatever we're doing, in the fields or in the forest, in the highways and byways of life. He is everywhere. Why else is the Lord worthy of praise? He's our Savior. His love and His grace is immense. He hates our sin, but he loves our soul. Why else is the Lord worthy of praise?
He's omnipotent.
He's omnipotent. He has all the power. It doesn't matter what is happening in our lives. His arm is not shortened. We can trust him for that. So we understand that the word of God says right here, the fear of the Lord. And then we understand that the Lord is worthy of praise and that in a reverential respect, this is the beginning of knowledge. And but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look in verse 8. It says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. But also look at it, it says at the end of the verse, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Do not forsake it. And look at verse 9, he says, for they, the law, think of the law oftentimes in Scripture refers to certainly the Mosaic law of God and God's prophetic plan and purpose of the nation of Israel. But oftentimes it also refers to law as a fixed principle. Think truisms or maxims or truths or principles to live by. Things that my mother taught me. And so that's what he's speaking of here. He says, for they, the law of your mother, they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. In other words, the truths which we receive from the previous generation, they will adorn our lives with beauty and not ugliness. And so the word of exhortation there is to not despise the law of our mother. Turn over to chapter 6. Chapter 6, the next time we see mom show up in Proverbs is right here. Chapter 6 and verse 20. Check this out. In the book of Proverbs, mind you, is written specifically from the vantage point of a father passing on to a son. And he says, my son, keep your father's command. And once again, look at the end of the verse. And do not forsake your mother's, don't forsake the law of your mother. Don't forsake it. And he says, bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. In other words, what his exhortation here is that, hey, the truths that your mom passes on to you, they shouldn't be just a peripheral over here, sideline portion of your life. When the word of exhortation from Scripture is that the truth of God, who he is and what he has done, and with these maxims we receive from the previous generation, they're to be at the forefront of our heart and our mind. He says in verse 22, look, it says, when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. What does Psalm 119, 105 say? It says, your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What is to guide and direct the pathway of our lives? Well, the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we receive ancient wisdom from the hands and from the hearts of our mothers, our grandmothers, we're to take heed to ourselves and not forsake the law of our mother, our grandmother. He says, the commandment is a lamp in verse 23 and the law of the light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs, corrections, rebukes. When he says, do not forsake the law of your mother, turn over to chapter 31. By the end of the book, this is the last instance that mother is found in the book of Proverbs. And we see this consistent with the earlier exhortations. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 1. It says this. Of course, Proverbs 31 is the famous Proverbs 31 woman passage. But look at verse 1. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. The words which his mother taught him. So once again, it's the exhortation to not forsake, to not forget, but remember the law of your mother. And what it is, to framing it positively, is this. Do not forsake mom's law, but what? Rejoice. Positively is this. Rejoice in her wisdom. Rejoice in mom's wisdom. You know, that's a challenge for us, isn't it, boys and girls? You understand that? And you can get your eyes again right here, boys and girls. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? To rejoice in mom's wisdom. We're so prone because of the darkness and the sin in our hearts. We're prone to thinking that, mom's just old-fashioned. What's another way of saying, mom's just an old fuddy-duddy. All right? Mom's just, you fill in the blank. And so, listen to this, boys and girls. Whenever you think that mom is old-fashioned, the fuddy-duddy, old hat, or whatever, nobody ever does that anymore, remember that she has more experience than you. Do you understand that, boys and girls? That mom has more experience than you, and therefore, be thankful. Be thankful for her hard-earned knowledge and understanding. Do you understand that, boys and girls? So you should write that down. Whenever you're prone to thinking that mom's old-fashioned, remember that she has more experience than you do and be thankful for it. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Write that down. Look at over chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Not only do we see the Word of God exhorting us to not forsake mom's law, but to rejoice in her wisdom, but also we see in Proverbs 10 and verse 1, it says this. Basically, the precedent is to don't foolishly despise mom. How much is mom despised in our culture today? Look at Proverbs 10 and verse 1. It says the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father. That's good, isn't it? A wise son, but look, it says, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. A foolish son is the grief of his mother. And going on in the text here, next several verses, unpacks some of these foolish tendencies which grieve the heart of moms. Look at it right here. In verse 2, it says, treasures of wickedness. There's a contrast in verses 1 through 7 here, the contrast between the wicked and the righteous, and gives us insight into that which will make a glad father or grieve the heart of mom. And he says, the treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Psalm 1 speaks to this, that when we walk and we meditate and we walk in the paths of righteousness, we meditate on the law of God, there is blessing to be found when we live according to biblical principles. But the way of the ungodly is like the chaff which the wind drives away, the scripture says. They will not stand in the congregation of the righteous, but they will be no more. And look at in verse 3, it says, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. He's our provider and our protector. He's Yahweh Jireh. But he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack, and look at verse 4, look at this. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent becomes rich, makes rich. And so always remember this, boys and girls, is that because of the darkness and the depravity and the sin of our hearts, including you, we are prone to being slothful. We are prone to being sluggards. We are prone to wanting the easy way. And one of the biggest problems in the generation that is being raised today, and also the millennials including, and yes, it's in many respects it's the human condition, is the lack of delayed gratification. Especially with social media that we have today, everybody wants whatever they want now. I mean, it's crazy. Just looking up this lyric video for the offertory this morning, just looking it up, and it's like all kinds of movie trailers, all the pop-ups and everything. It's like, okay, as far as pop culture and things, and just like, wow. And so the issue is there's tremendous opportunity to be distracted, to be sidetracked, and to really to not even delay any type of excitement whatsoever when you can just click right there and get what you want now and waste time. And so the issue is, look at in verse 5 right here. He gathers in summer is a wise son. In other words, and he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. When we waste our time in frivolous lusts and things, that we grieve the heart of mom. Look in verse 6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. And look at verse 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Whoa. So don't foolishly despise mom. Look over at chapter 15. Over chapter 15, we see the same principle right over here in chapter 15, verse 20, in Proverbs here. 15 and verse 20, it says this, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." Despises her. What does it mean to despise mom? Basically, one of the biggest challenges of our lives, boys and girls, is this. Thinking that the authorities that God has put over us in our life, that they're just stupid. Are you with me? You hear what I'm saying, boys and girls? That mom is stupid. Because she doesn't know what I know. Because I'm not stupid. But I'm wise. And the Word of God exhorts us to not despise mom. Turn over to chapter 19. Take a look at this. Chapter 19, verse 26. At the end of chapter 19, we see this. Just a insightful exhortation here. Chapter 19, verse 26. Consistent with the importance of not foolishly despising mom. How do you say it positively, though? We'll get there. Verse 26. "He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach." In other words, what does it mean to chase away mom? Some translations of the Bible render it, "He who evicts mom," "He who sends mom away." Basically, just that does not regard mom, doesn't care about mom. And they say, "Hey, that your time is up. Let's just marginalize you over into obscurity over here, and lock you up into some place where we don't have to deal with you anymore." But look at verse 27. It says, "Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." What's another way to say that? Don't forsake your mother's law. Do not forsake mom's wisdom. Look across the page, chapter 20, verse 20. It says, "Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." Whoever curses mom, thinks that mom is just stupid. She doesn't know what she's talking about. How often do we have that kind of attitude? That's a challenge, isn't it? Do you understand, boys and girls? Can I have your eyes open, boys and girls? Understand of Proverbs 1:7 to all of this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Because, boys and girls, we understand if we do not have a reverential fear or a hearty respect of the Lord Almighty, you think we're really going to respect mom? No, absolutely not. And so the real issue is this. The real issue is not mom. The real issue is me. Is our hearts. And this is applicable to every season of life that we're in, dear ones. He who curses his father or mother. Look over to chapter 23. Chapter 23, there's two nuggets here, packed right in the same context. Chapter 23, starting in verse 22. Check this out. And God calls us to not foolishly despise mom, but to rejoice in her vision for our lives. See, moms, godly mothers, have a vision for their kids' lives as to who they will become, as to the plan and purpose that God has laid upon their lives. And look at this in verse 22, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. It says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Look at that. Don't despise mom when she's old and gray and heavy set and all that, and she's no longer cool or whatever. Look at it says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Look at this in verse 24. "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him." And verse 25. "Let your father and your mom be glad. And he who begets a wise child will delight in him. And let her who bore you rejoice." Rather, verse 25. "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." So boys and girls, the issue is, regardless whether or not you think that you have a good mom, even by sheer virtue of mom having been used of Almighty God to give you life, and she bore you, we can be thankful. Do we understand that? We can be thankful for the breath of life in the core of our being. Look over to chapter 28, 28 and verse 24. You recall in the gospel records, the Lord Jesus, he was speaking to some guys there, and there was a one point he said that whoever basically takes advantage of his parents and says that, oh, it's Corban. He uses that word Corban. In other words, it's a gift. And basically, it's a bad thing to take advantage of mom in that way. And take a look at this. Chapter 28 and verse 24. Check this out. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer. How often do we take mom for granted, kids? How often do we take our grandparents for granted and thinking that they are just here, we're just ready and eager for them to kick the bucket so we can get the inheritance, all right? You hear what I'm saying? That's wrong. It says, the same as a companion to a destroyer. What did Jesus say in John chapter 10, verse 10, boys and girls? Do you remember this? What did Jesus say? We remember this from Kids Day. Do you know this verse by memory? I encourage you, boys and girls, to write down this verse, and dads, moms, and great verse to commit to memory. It says this, that the thief, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and life more abundantly. The same as a companion of a destroyer. The enemy of our souls is the liar, thief, and a murderer. So God is the author of life, breath, and all things. And so therefore, God calls us to not foolishly despise mom, but to rejoice in her vision. So the challenge for us is this, boys and girls. And here's another practical application for you boys and girls to write down, is this. Whenever you think mom is stupid, whenever you think mom is stupid, she's dumb, she doesn't know what she's talking about, and never doubt the reality. Never doubt this reality that this is the default tendency of our lives because we're darkened sinners, to be wise in our own eyes. Whenever you think that mom is stupid, remember her perspective on your life is greater than you could ever imagine. Mom, her vision, her perspective on your life is greater than you can ever imagine, and be thankful for the dreams that she has for you. Do you understand that? That moms and grandmas have dreams and aspirations for the lives of their children and their grandchildren. And ultimately, we ought to never settle for anything less than God's best for our lives. Because He has a plan for our lives ordained from eternity. And He knows the end from the beginning. Look over to chapter 29, right in the neighborhood here. Chapter 29, verse 15. This is really challenging stuff here. Because not only do we have the exhortation to don't forsake mom's law, but rejoice in her wisdom. Don't foolishly despise mom, but rejoice in her vision. Here we have, this is a challenge here, to don't feel abandoned by mom. Some kids feel abandoned by mom. And maybe you felt abandoned by your mother looking back in your childhood. But God calls us to rejoice in her influence on our lives. Look at 29 and verse 15. It says this, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. God's call on the lives of parents is to be intentional in training up a child in the way they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. And it says this, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. A child left to himself or herself, a child abandoned, whether just literally physically abandoned, or a child that's left to himself and it's like, well, I'm not going to obey the word of God and apply verse 15, the first portion. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. That's called biblical chastisement. There's correction, discipline, training there. Don't feel abandoned by mom, but rejoice in her influence. Deuteronomy chapter 6 exhorts parents to internalize the word of God, and that these things that the Lord commands them today shall be in their heart, and so that they would teach them diligently to their children. Teach them diligently, not haphazardly, not lackadaisically, but diligently inculcate truth in the next generation. In Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, he actually exhorts Titus to teach and to train the older women in the assemblies and the island of ancient Crete there to admonish the younger women to love their children, to teach the younger women as far as this intentional discipleship training process of coming alongside those in the younger generations that are raising children today, that it is older women's responsibility to come alongside and to teach them how to love their husbands, but also to love their children. Why? It says in the next verse, it says that the word of God would not be blasphemed. This is serious stuff. Motherhood is huge. The cost of it is immense. And so the word of exhortation here in Proverbs 29 says, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And perhaps you as a child felt abandoned by your mom, and you're embittered against mom, and you're not rejoicing in her influence on your life. And the issue is this, is that whenever, boys and girls, listen, whenever you feel like it's mom's fault that your life did not turn out as you thought it would, or your life is not as epic as you wanted it to be, remember that every boy and girl, man and woman, every one of us are morally responsible before God. Every one of us are morally responsible. And therefore, we ought to be thankful for the influence mom has had on our life. But that doesn't leave mom off the hook herself, or dads. Because look at verse 15, it says, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. It's crazy. Kevin Sadler last weekend, he gave me like 5 boxes of books or something, you know, literature and everything. An old lady died, donated her library or whatever to Berean Bible Society, and all the staff were rifling through all their stuff and everything, all the books, and there's a lot left over, and they were saying, "Mom, what are we going to do with this? A lot of this stuff is too good just to, you know, dump at the thrift store or whatever." And one of the guys on staff there, Pastor Aaron Harris, he says, "Hey, I know the guy you can give it to." And Kevin says, "Oh, why didn't I think of that? I'm going there next weekend." So he brings a bunch of old searchlights and literature, and so I'm rifling through stuff and everything. And I found a tract, a little pamphlet from 1982 there. It was written by a guy named Jeff Williams, Trinity Baptist Broadcast. And the tract was called "Why Teens Go Wrong." And it hit me between the eyes. It was actually refreshing, to tell you the truth. This is just a portion. He says, in light of this portion of the Word of God, a child left to himself, and therefore disobedience to the first portion of the verse. He says, teens don't go wrong spontaneously because they're teens. Rather, as children reach the teenage years, parents begin to reap what they have sown in earlier years of training. He says, rude, disrespectful teenage slobs merely reflect inadequate earlier training. The root cause of most problems is very simply parental failure. He says it's easy to pass the buck and blame society, schools, TV for your child's associates, etc. But God holds the parents morally accountable for the proper training of the young. Who helps to make up the influence and influence society? Who votes for the school board? He says the parents. Who alone has the power to unplug the idiot box, basically the TV he calls it, and limit their kids' associates? The parents. Proper rearing of children must include 4 elements for success to be granted: love, example, training, and discipline. So boys and girls, don't feel abandoned by mom. even if mom did not give you the adequate training that she was supposed to, she perhaps did the best she could with what she had. You hear what I'm saying? And if you are blessed with a mother that has more tools in her box than otherwise, be thankful to God and understand your privileged status and be humble before God and don't waste your life like many young people have. Let's finish off here with, turn over to chapter 30, right at the end of the book. Right at the end of the book, we have right across the page here. Look in verse 11. Right at the end of the book of Proverbs, we have the final word of exhortation for moms, or toward moms, is this. Don't foist an attitude against mom. Do not foist an attitude against mom, but rejoice in her courage. Especially in this day and age, it takes resolute conviction and courage to be a godly mother who is going to intentionally raise kids with a reverential fear of the Lord Almighty. Moms are tough. Godly moms are really tough. Check this out. Look at verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes. You see it? In its own eyes. Yet is not washed from its filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes. And their eyelids are lifted up. You know, you can tell a lot about somebody from their eyes. Even as you've heard me, you know, ask the children to give me your eyes and look up here and be engaged. And we see. And every one of us as parents, we need to be aware and be vigilant as to the eyes of our children. And one of the biggest things that we can do when we're teaching and training and rebuking and correcting and loving and caring for our kids is to get the eyes. Can I have your eyes? Eye contact and say, yes, mom. Yes, yes, ma'am. I will do this. Because we can see, the eyes are the windows to the soul. And Scripture exhorts us that, look at verse 14, there is a generation whose teeth are like swords, whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. And so listen, if we know that we do not have our kids' eyes and hearts, when we look into our kids' eyes and we can see that we don't have their hearts, whoa. Because elsewhere, Proverbs says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Whoa. Look across the page in verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Whoa. That's serious stuff. And all this is based on Proverbs 3 verse 7 where it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. You know what that is? That's an attitude. You know, Lorraine, I bet in your generation, you remember girls that, you know, had a prideful, arrogant, and Lorraine, that was, what, 100 years ago, right? So it seems like it. And the point being is that the human condition is such that we are hell-bent on destruction, and it is reprehensible that God has placed authorities over us. And if we're going to rejoice in mom's courage, and that it takes courage to raise children and go against the tide. In verse 11 right here, there's a generation that does not bless its mother. They're going to say, no, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. We are in our home, in our household, me and my house, we will serve the Lord with resolute conviction, passion, fire, and courage to be a blessing to this world in need of Jesus Christ. And moms, grandmas, dads, moms, if that is not a reality in our hearts, do we really think that our kids or grandkids are going to have that? That we're going to see them embrace a transcendent cause of life and live to the praise of God's glory? Chances are they won't. Because they see that the time, treasure, and talent and the priorities of our life are invested elsewhere than the biblical priorities of the cause of Christ. And so this is ancient wisdom for modern motherhood. The cost, the price of children, the price of motherhood is steep. The blessings are even far greater. And even as John told his people that he was writing to, he said, I'd have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. The opposite is also true. I have no greater sorrow than to see my children walking in falsehood. May it not be so in our lives. And always remember that it's never too late. It's never too late to confess, to agree with God, to ask forgiveness, you know, from older children and grandchildren. And it's never too late, because we're still their dad, you're still their mom, their grandma. And move heaven and earth by the grace of God to reach their hearts and impress upon their hearts a reverential fear of the Lord Almighty, who is worthy of all praise. And He proved it by laying down His life for our sins. And He conquered the tyranny of sin, death, and darkness forever. And He lives today. And may He be exalted through our lives. Father, we thank You for the glory of all that You are, and the goodness of Your hand of blessing in making families, in giving us mothers, in giving us grandmothers. And may each one take heed to ourselves, O God, so that we would beckon to the hearts of our children and cry out to before You, Your throne of grace, for the hearts and the souls and the lives of our children and our grandchildren, so that their lives would echo throughout eternity to the praise of Your glory in Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.